Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
3-2 pitch to Bell. Here it is. Here's the pitch. Fly ball to center field. Jarren Duran takes a couple of steps back and makes the catch, and the Boston Red Sox win this ball game 6-5 in 12 innings and walk out of Miami with the sweep. Going to make for a nice plane ride to New York.
Had him all the way.
What a big win for the Red Sox. Couple opportunities. It felt like they were going to lose this one, Joe, but they keep holding on. They keep getting two runs and extras, and a really big win for this club, and a nice job there by Greg Weiser.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
Never a doubt, right? What a wild game in Miami, and what a win for the Red Sox here on the 4th of July. Goes 12 innings. The Sox end up eking it out 6-5. This game took so many twists and turns. We're going to get all into it. But in the end, the Red Sox sweep the Miami Marlins. They're 8 games above 500 for the first time this year, and all of a sudden, they find themselves just 4 games in the loss column back of the New York Yankees, who they're taking on next this weekend. Joe Weil with you here, fired up here on Red Sox Review. My man Zach Coe behind the glass. We're going to take you to 6:30 talking some Red Sox baseball after a wild win in Miami. We, of course, like always, want you to be a part of the conversation. First off, we hope you're having a great 4th of July. We hope you've had a chance to be outside, you know, be a part of a cookout and get some hot dogs and burgers if you're into that, or if you're vegetarian option, some vegetarian alternative to that. We want to make sure we represent all people. But we hope you've gotten a chance to enjoy Independence Day. It's always such a great day, especially when there's baseball and you get a chance to enjoy baseball here on the 4th of July. And this was one of those memorable 4th of July games, which you wouldn't necessarily say all the time about a team that they were playing in, which is now 27 games below 500. But so many things happened in this game that we need to dissect and go over. And we want to do that with you. Again, we hope you've enjoyed your holiday. Fireworks are obviously coming up in the Boston area around the Charles, but we hope you have a chance to get some fireworks today and have had a chance to sit back, relax, and hopefully you got a chance to enjoy listening to this one with Joe and Lou on the call, and we'll be playing their highlights all throughout Red Sox Review. We're going to hear from Alex Cora and some of the big characters in this one. But again, we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. Hit up the phone line, 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937 as well. Myself, Zach Coe, we're going to take you all the way up to 6:30 before we get into some ESPN baseball coming up here on WEEI. But this was just a remarkable win. And because it took so many twists and turns, and because the Red Sox were able to take a punch here and there and not let up and come up clutch in so many different ways. I mean, Jaren Duran again coming up big time defensively in this one. This game would have been over if he didn't make a great throw to home plate to nab the runner in Jesus Sanchez in the bottom of the ninth inning. It was not looking good for the Red Sox. They had a runner on second, this being the Marlins, when the game was tied at two, bottom nine, and Xavier Edwards hits a single right back up the middle, and Jaren Duran comes up firing to home plate to end up getting Sanchez for the second out of that inning, and it was a perfect throw. It almost had to be a perfect throw to get him out at home, and that preserved the tie to send it into extra innings. And the Sox, in the end, end up doing enough offensively in extras. They score two in the 11th inning. Zach Kelly, who worked out of a second and third one-out jam in the bottom of the 10th inning, he ends up giving up a two-run home run in the 11th. So you think, oh Jesus, are they going to now give up this game? But instead it goes into the 12th, and the Red Sox end up scoring two in that inning. Marlins get one back, and the Red Sox end up hanging on. And now they've won four in a row. On the road, they continue to play phenomenal baseball. It's something about, you know, getting away from Fenway that's injected something into this team in some way, because they have played so well on the road. Now 10-1 over their last 11 road games. They've just been that good. And again, they're now eight games above 500 all of a sudden. And they're playing a team now in the Yankees that lost again today, 8-4. They've lost 14 of their last 19. And outside of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, there just isn't a whole lot, especially offensively. Again, we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. As the calls continue to roll in here, let's hear from Alex Cora, though. He's got to be fired up after his team was able to secure a series sweep against the Marlins with a 6-5 victory in 12.
How do you put this one into words? Usually doesn't go that long when it's extra innings. I mean, the way you guys battle back and the whole game, really.
Yeah, I mean, we did a good job. They did a good job. I know they have won a lot of games in the ninth inning here. They keep playing, but we kept playing. I think base running today was outstanding. The first two runs, the contact play, obviously Jaren with the throw, you know, changed the game. We grind with them, and we never stopped playing, so that's a cool part of it.
It's almost like a footnote considering what happened after the seventh, but how impressive was Nick Seifert bouncing back?
No, he was really good. Pounded the strike zone, had a good fastball, the sweeper was good, was in command. He gave us what we needed.
Just the fight that you guys have, what is it about this group that allows them to fight like that?
They're young, athletic, you know, we can do a lot of stuff. You know, we almost stole this game in nine innings, you know, with Hammy still in third twice and us putting the ball in play, you know, it just didn't happen right. We walked a few guys in the eighth and they did a good job battling. That's what they do. JD with a great play. You know, overall a grinder, but a good one. You know, it's not that we play sloppy. You know, they just play hard too. And I'm just glad we ended up winning the game, and now we got to be ready for tomorrow.
It's five road sweeps already. How would you characterize that?
Yeah, I mean, it started in the West Coast. We played well early in the season. It's a group that they really like each other. You know, we need to find, you know, the magic at home, you know, play better there. Because if we do that, we're going to be fine. We will, because, you know, what we're doing on the road is pretty special.
Off the bat, did you think Jaren had a chance to make that play at the plate?
Yeah, he didn't have a good jump, and he was kind of like limping you know, the whole time after the eighth inning. So, yeah.
It's the best throw you've seen him make in his career?
Yeah. The biggest one, biggest one in the stage that he, you know, he threw him out. Yeah.
When you have him on second, or just a lot of the guys, even Romy as the ghost runner, is it just a matter of putting the ball in play with what you have on the bases right now?
I mean, the hitters did a good job. Hammy put the ball in play, got him to third. Then after that, it was contact play. Rafaela put the ball in play. It was first and third. We stole second. We put the ball in play again. Contact play. We score. So credit to both, right? The base runners having good leads at third base and being aggressive with the reads. And obviously the hitters putting the ball in play when it matters.
All right, so that's Alex Cora talking after the Red Sox 6-5 victory in 12 innings. And here's a rundown of what the Red Sox have been able to do recently, because they are in a hot stretch. So they've won four in a row, as I mentioned before, but they're now 13-5 in their last 18 games. And then on top of that, 14-5 now over their last 19 games, and 8 games above 500, as I mentioned before, for the first time this year. And to amend what I said earlier, they're 9-1 over their last 10 road games, but 27-16 overall on the road. And oh, by the way, when they score 5 or more runs, they have now won their last 21 games in which they've done that. So when they score a lot, they're winning these types of games. And there were so many key contributors to this one. We're going to get into it as we take you up to 6:30 here on Red Sox Review. There's so much to discuss after such a fun win, but we got to go back to the phone or go to the phones for the first time. And again, if you want to chime in, 617-779-7937 after an Independence Day victory over the Miami Marlins. We first start off in Plymouth with my man, Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Joe, what's going on, man? What a fun game right there. I go back and for some reason it sticks in my head from this season. It's John Henry's comments to the newspaper in London, you know, a month or two ago, when he says Boston demands so much, all these fans want is championships every year. It's the only thing they want. Disagree. This is exactly what we want. I'm leaving a 4th of July barbecue. I see on my ESPN app how close the game is. I get jacked up to put the game on the radio when I get into the car and drive on 9:30 home. That's what I want to be doing all summer. Get out of the beach, being able to see a fun competitive Red Sox game. Go to the ball game, see a fun competitive Red Sox game. Are we going to be putting a banner up this year? Probably not. But can we have a fun summer and hopefully a couple games in September? That's all I'm asking. That's all Red Sox Nation's asking. We don't ask for championships every year, John Henry. But a day like today, the last couple of days, they've been fun. I'm looking forward to more of it this weekend with the stuff coming out of the Bronx.
All right, that's a heck of a call to kick things off. Mike, appreciate you chiming in after the cookout. And if you want to grab his line and do the same thing after you've been to a cookout, we want to hear from you, 617-779-7937. It looks like we're in for a fun summer. Now, we're going to see what the trade deadline or what happens at the trade deadline coming up here, because as we've talked about on these shows, we want to see this team add, because at this point, they have shown that they are a competitive team, and I would actually go as far to say is a good team. They're a good team. You don't beat bad teams unless you're somewhat competent, and this year's bunch has shown that they can beat up on the bad teams. Now, in this game, obviously, they eke it out rather than blow them out, but they still sweep the Marlins. And they're taking care of business against bad teams more times than not. And now we're going to see what they do against the Yankees. And I feel really good about this Red Sox team going into that series because of the way that they're playing, because they've won 14 out of their last 19 games, and they shouldn't be scared at all about this Yankees team. Because the Yankees have been the inverse. They've lost 14 of their last 19 games. They're playing horrible baseball because they can't hit right now outside of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. So I'd feel really good about going into that series and what's to come here in the month of July. And the Sox, what they're trying to do right now is continue to build that case to add, to show this front office it's worth investing in for this year. And it's not to sell the farm. It's just add to this team. Go out and get a starter, because this group could use a starter. Although Nick Pivetta looked really good today, and Brian Bayo's coming off a good outing as well. But this is against the Marlins, and bigger tests will come. But at the same time, this group is playing so well, and as Alex Cora said in his postgame comments, they're young and athletic. So this is a hungry group. Even though it's a young group, it's a hungry group. And they're able to win games by creating runs out of thin air, as we saw today with David Hamilton doing it twice, leading the way on a double steal after getting on base and scoring twice on ground balls. Like, the Sox manufactured runs. And what I like about that is that they actually play a style of baseball that if you're an old school baseball fan, you can enjoy. Now, they hit home runs too. They're just outside of the top 10 in that category as well. But they can create runs by using their speed, and it's a fun brand of baseball. And that's why, if I were you at home, I would be on board watching this team and being invested right now, because they're playing a fun style of baseball. Again, 617-779-7937, the number to chime in here. Let's go to New Orleans and check in with our guy, Glenn. What's going on, Glenn? Happy 4th.
Happy 4th of July to you as well. I'm calling up. I haven't heard anybody talk about it. When Cora pulled Pivetta, there was no reason to. He should have at least gone out for the 8th. And if he managed to get through that at 100 pitches, send him out for the 9th. He's a big boy. He can handle it. But what happened? Immediately, he changes pitches. Slayton walks two batters, and we end up with 6 pitchers, 5 relievers being used in a game where they should have used 1 maximum. That's how you ruin a bullpen. Now go ahead and defend him because I know you're going to.
Yeah, I was getting ready to. Listen, Glenn, I understand where you're coming from because there is something about this sport that, you know, as a kid myself, I remember watching managers extend starters and push them into the 8th and 9th inning way more than you see nowadays. My only question back to you, and I'm glad you're still sticking on the line with us, is that don't you trust Justin Slayton and Brennan Bernardino?
I don't trust them the way Pivetta was pitching today. 7 innings, 1 hit. He walked a couple of batters. When a guy has it, and today Pivetta had it, you let him ride. You let him ride. It's a 2-run game. I don't have enough confidence in the bullpen when a guy is on a roll like Pivetta was. That's when you leave the guys in. Now, if he had been struggling here and there, but still had managed 7 innings, but he was at 89 pitches, I think is what he threw.
He was at 89.
You're asking for trouble, and that's exactly what he got. He ended up having to use 5 relievers when he could have used 1, maybe none, with a series starting tomorrow against the Yankees. Now, you know, better hope Hauk has it so they don't have to rely on the bullpen in game 1, because we don't know what's going to happen after that. I guess we probably have a starter in one of opener in one of those games. Maybe, I'm not sure, but that's how you overwork a bullpen with a move like he made today.
Yeah,
and you can defend him, but you're wrong.
Listen, Glenn, I always love when you chime in. I think one other point I want to make with that, and I do appreciate my conversations with Glenn, and I'm all for disagreement. If you disagree with me, if you agree with me, again, we want to hear from you, 617-779-7937. I think a part of what went into that decision, and Zach, I'm curious your thoughts on this too. I wonder if what went into that decision to take him out after 7 innings was not only that he thought maybe he was at the end of the road there, but I also think there's a contextual part of it that Nick Pivetta over his last 4 starts had really struggled. He hadn't made it to the 5th inning in 3 of his last 4 starts, and his ERA was over 9 at that point. So you let him ride it out until he ends the no-hit bid, and then he ends up getting out of the 7th inning after giving up that first hit to Jesus Sanchez with 2 outs in the 7th. And I wonder if part of the reasoning for Cora taking out Nick Pivetta at that point after 7 is let him feel good about an outing. Don't push him out there to go out there in the 8th inning when you have guys like Justin Slayton that are available to pitch. And listen, this just happens with bullpens at times that they don't come through. And yes, Glenn makes the point about all the pitchers that the Red Sox use. And I think that's fair to be a little concerned about going into the Yankee series, that you use Slayton, you use Bernardino, you use Jansen, you use Zach Kelly for 2 innings, and then they had to use Greg Weissert at the end. So the bullpen is going to be a little taxed, but I don't think the thought process was bad. And again, I think there are a couple different factors, but what do you think, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, hindsight is 2020. Obviously, Slayton and Bernardino can't close the door there in the eighth inning after Slayton walks a couple guys. But I think the thought process was sound. I mean, we still have 76 more games, and we have been talking about this pitching staff, specifically the starters, getting burnt out as they all come close to their career highs and innings. So, I mean, obviously now that we know that the game went 12 innings and you really have a taxed bullpen going into the Bronx, you can obviously say, well, if Pivetta could have given you the eighth, that would have been big. But there's no way that Cora could have known that two of the better relievers that the team has had this season were not going to be able to get the job done against this Marlins offense.
Yeah, and Bernardino especially, he's been lights out pretty much the entire year. And if there's any pitcher you feel comfortable about in terms of coming into the game with inherited runners, it's this guy. And he just didn't come through. And listen, it happens. And without a great play from Jaron Duran in the bottom of the ninth inning, yes, we're talking about a Marlins win instead of a Red Sox win here on Independence Day. And if you're just joining us now, Sox won 6-5 in 12 innings. But I thought the logic was sound. Listen, he pitched seven good innings. That's what you hope for out of a starter in today's game. And, you know, I think maybe another part of it, too, was we have the Sox rotation has a ton of, as we've talked about, Zach, like a ton of young arms that you're going to need to rely on Nick Pivetta throughout the season. And I'm glad you brought up the number of games that are left in this year, right? 76 more. The Sox just played their 86th game of the year. And all these other guys, they're going to have to be limited to some degree moving forward. So you want Nick Pivetta fresh. You want to be able to extend him in other games. And Justin Slayton, he hadn't pitched this month yet, right? He hadn't pitched at all in the Marlins series. So he was fresh coming into this game. And, you know, he ends up walking a couple guys at the bottom of the lineup. So I know sometimes it sounds like I'm just a shill here for Alex Cora, but I honestly didn't see anything wrong with taking him out after seven innings. I would have had a problem with it, I think, if, you know, he has a no-hitter through seven innings and then he doesn't let him go back out for the eighth, because that's a little bit different. The context to it, to me, is a little bit different, that you have a chance here to let this guy make history. And you think about if they take him out through seven and what that might do for the clubhouse, you know, to not let him just try to finish it off. But he gives up the hit. You have a rested bullpen with Slayton, you know, ready to go. And, you know, in the end, again, they don't end up using him. Sox win anyway. Took a lot of different things for it to happen. But you had some guys ready to go and rested to pitch today. And Jansen was another one of them, right? You could go to Slayton. You could go to Jansen because both those guys hadn't pitched yet in this series. So the Sox were kind of set up for that. And that's where, you know, Alex Cora is thinking ahead like that to, you know, if I make this move and this happens, then I can do this. He's that type of manager that thinks it out that smartly, I think, and which is why you should appreciate having him here. And again, I don't think a ton of managers in this sport, or you could even make the argument that any manager in this sport has this team where it is right now. I mean, it's remarkable that this team is eight games above 500. They've closed the gap here to four games in the loss column back of the Yankees. It's 5.5 in terms of the overall standings, but that four in the loss column, that's what ends up meaning the most. But they have a chance here to gain some more ground against New York when they're down. And I remember a caller, I think it was David from Florida, a little while back, saying that, you know, it doesn't matter when you're playing a certain team, you should be able to beat them. It doesn't matter if they're hot or not. But I disagree with that, because sometimes a team just is hot, like the Padres were where they came into Fenway Park. Now you got this Yankees team that is slumping. Their heads are down. They a couple things in their game against the Reds today. Trent Grisham, he was like he was lollygagging in center field on a base hit to center field. And I forget who hit it for the Reds, but he took second base on the play. It was a mess. From the Yankees' perspective, that team is in a bad headspace, and you have a chance to land another big punch against them and not only do that, gain some ground on them, who is, again, a team that you're chasing right now in the wild card race, but you can now jump the Royals, which is possible tonight if the Royals lose to the Rays, and you could possibly jump the Twins. So, again, it's another big win. I thought the logic from the pitching side of things was smart from Cora, but it just didn't work out, you know, in the sense of trying to wrap this game up in nine innings. Sometimes that happens in baseball. They went 12. Sox were able to figure it out anyway. And the cool part of it about this one is that there were so many different guys to step up. Like, I almost had to write it down to keep track because Nick Pivetta's outing almost got lost in all of this. The fact that he had a no-hit bid through 6 2/3 innings. The sweeper looked so much better from him today. It was breaking more horizontally. It had been an issue for him. It was so good against right-handed batters last year. That hasn't been the case as much this year. But he pitched well against this Marlins team that was again offensively challenged. But in the end, he pitched great. Jaron Duran doing another thing to impact the game. Like, he almost deserves another win above replacement for this one. Because if he doesn't make that throw from center field, this ball game's over. If he doesn't make a perfect throw to home plate, this game's over. But he made that throw to home plate, and it extended this game, and the Sox win it in 12-6-5. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Paul in Westfield. Great to have Paul back on the program. Hello, Paul.
Hello, and happy 4th, and wicked, wild. And what's it, 3 hours and 36 minutes?
3:36.
The longest, really the longest game of the year, huh, on 4th?
It was 1 minute behind the longest game of the year, believe it or not. So the longest game of the year, I'm just making sure I have this right, it was an 11-inning game against the Cleveland Guardians back on April 16th. But it's tied for the longest in innings because the Sox played a 12-inning game against the Rays.
Sweet. Hey, your super producer that I jokingly said he's a little bit smart. It's interesting because I don't see well, as you know, so I just learned from him. We got Wong, and now we're in the 2 to 3 years after these guys were recruited, and Duran's looking starting to develop like an all-star. You mentioned he saved the game. Your producer said he was like in midfield, so that's what, a 210-foot throw while he's running and drills it in the perfect spot? That's what he did to save the game?
Yes. He comes through again. It's amazing how many different ways he can impact the game, but he talked about it in our post-game chat with Joe Castiglione and Lou Maloney that he was positioned, you know, in shallow center field, to medium depth center because of the scouting report that they had on Edwards for when he was up at the plate. So, I mean, it was great job by the coaching staff as well to kind of set him up for that.
Yeah, that's smart. They know where to be for the ball. That makes sense. And hey, Pivetta, no hits into the sixth. This is what I'm saying. When these guys are on point, they just mow everyone down. What happens in the sixth? Because Cora usually recognizes a symptom. If the movement and the velocity are down or the players are picking up on it, he'll yank them. What happened? How did we get them a couple runs? I mean, they finally got a couple runs. We wiped them 3 in a row. But what do you think caused the Pivetta loss of the no-hitter?
Yeah, I mean, he just gave up a triple to Jesus Sanchez. I mean, it was the first and really only time that any Marlins hitter got to him in this game. And the Marlins were able to score because they got to the bullpen of the Red Sox. And we were hitting on this with Glenn from New Orleans, that because Glenn was upset they took out Pivetta after 7 innings, which I get to a degree because he was only at 89 pitches. But I think there's a greater context as to why they would take him out after giving up just one hit. I think Cora wanted him to feel good because he'd been in a rough stretch recently. And then on top of that, I think he just kind of topped out at that point and he had a locked and loaded bullpen ready to go.
Right. And remember, the 100-pitch mark for the Rhode Island guy, that's a mark. It's called a standard. Your deviant is 10-plus or 10-minus. So like you just said, he was probably ready to go, and it's smart that he did. And then the way it evolved. The other thing is this, 90 pitches is a lot. And think, this team just got beat twice at home. It's in their third game. They're really motivated to win. And Pivetta still goes on and shuts them down for 6 innings. So he's got a highly motivated hitters, and he just shut them down. That's not easy to do. It's not the last place team. It's a pro team that lost 2 games in a row. And that's motivation. And Pivetta still wiped them. Really impressive. Really good game.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Paul. And I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the whole game. Did you listen for the entire game?
I got here about the 4th inning. I was in the garden. I didn't realize it was on, so I put my headset and you on my phone.
All right, so you got a chance to experience all of it. I mean, what a crazy game, right? So many twists and turns with this one. I'm trying to think of a Red Sox game this year that took so many different turns like this one did. But in the end, they pull it out, and I guess that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. I think a wild fourth when everyone's watching. This is what Major League Baseball likes. This is Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran. Hey, Duran's starting to look like and develop into an all-star, and so is our catcher, Juan. To get to 17 hitting streak, which, what did you do? You cursed him, you and your big mouth. That was my
streak. No, it's my fault. Hits. You're blaming me. You're blaming me, Paul?
I'm just saying, 17 games, I got it. He ties me, and then that ends it today. Thank you, thank you. But that's a hell of a statement from a catcher. People forget. They're built differently. They play differently. That's why catchers don't always make the greatest hitters, but they can sit there for hours in that frog spot with the super legs. This is awesome to see one. And they're all about, what, 26, 27 now after 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, they're all pretty young. I mean, Duran, the interesting thing about Duran is that he is 28 years old right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 27 years old. So he's 27. He turns 28 in September. So he's an in-his-prime player who's playing, you know, like an in-his-prime player. Connor Wong, he's 28 years old. I actually, in my head, mixed up both of their ages. But Wong's 28 and Durant's 27. And you know, Paul, and we're going to have to let you go in a moment here, but I will say, like, this is part of the reason why I think adding somebody here at the trade deadline is actually something that makes sense for the timeline. Because, yes, you have a lot of young guys like Raffaello, who's, you know, just a rookie, and Hamilton's just a rookie, and same goes for Abreu. But the core of this team does have a couple of years under their belts, guys like Wong and Duran. So why not invest in that and add, especially when they're playing good baseball?
Absolutely, but do a cost-to-benefit analysis. Don't do the politician stick-it-in-my-pocket deal. Figure out what we gain and lose, and don't lose a significant bat. Because remember, and look at the analysis and how much of a chance we're going to get to the finals and win. You know, the Yankees are in a losing streak. So if it works up and everything's aligned, you make the right move based upon overall what you call conditions, factors, and availability. Don't do nothing hasty. You use Cora's brain.
I agree, Paul. And thanks for chiming in. Happy fourth to you. It's always great to hear from Paul from Westfield. And again, we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. As we're going to take you up to 6:30 here on WEI. But again, Red Sox here on Independence Day win 6-5 in 12 innings against the Miami Marlins. Back with more Red Sox review right after this on WEI.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Sanchez leads his second with one out. Here's the pitch. And he lines one by the diving shortstop in the center field. The base hit. Durant comes up throwing. Runner heading home. Throw on line. And he is out at home. What a throw by Jarren Durant. And the 2-2 tie is preserved. Edwards took second base. Well, we said the outfield was shallow, and that made it possible.
Well, they're going to want to take a look at this. They're going to kind of go into that, see where Reese McGuire catches this baseball. Was he blocking the plate?
Yeah, it's very close.
When he did. This was a great throw. You mentioned the outfields are shallow. Durant charges this, throws it right on the line, a perfect one hopper. The question now just becomes Reese McGuire.
Miami, South Beach, bringing the heat.
Red Sox bouncing in the club when the heat is on. And the heat was on there in the bottom of the ninth inning. Jarren Durant coming up big once again, and it's his arm this time, which is, he's got so many strengths. He's got a solid arm, but it's definitely down on the list. And he showed it, though, in a big spot, as you just heard Joe Castiglione on the call. The game-saving play in this one keeps it tied in the bottom of the ninth inning. Red Sox end up winning it 6-5 in 12 innings, and that was the highlight from today's Nissan Red Sox postgame show. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. Zach Coe behind the glass here at WEI doing a great job, especially with that rejoiner music. That was a clutch pick there from Zach. And he always does great work. And he and I are, again, going to take you up to 6:30 here on Red Sox Review. We're still taking your calls as well, 617-779-7937. We're going to squeeze one in here right now. Let's go to Jared in Beverly. He wants to talk about the defense. What's going on, Jared?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much. I like this team. We're good. We got bats and all that, but it's the defense. It's the defense. I'm worried about the defense, and I don't know. I feel like we really got to make moves for the trade deadline.
Yeah, and Jared, I appreciate the quick thoughts there. And again, if you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. So the Red Sox, they've won four in a row, and they made one error over these last four games. No errors in this one today. So they've played pretty clean baseball over this stretch. But as Jared points out, you know, defense is one of the Achilles heels of this team. And Zach and I actually were talking about this before we hopped on, about, you know, where this team currently stands and what the deficiencies are. And defense is one of them. And I you can make the argument that it's at the forefront. Now, outfield defense is great. And we saw that from Jarren Durant today. I love Willy Abreu out in right, Tyler O'Neill out in left, and Rob Refsnyder, he's made, you know, some really nice plays this year. He's played good defense out in the outfield and made a really nice play yesterday. But this Sox team still leads Major League Baseball in errors, most fielding errors. They're bottom third, actually bottom fifth in outs above average, and they have the worst fielding percentage in the sport. So it's definitely a weakness of this group. And so how do you improve that? And that's a interesting question to try and tackle. Is it just the growth of these players, especially the young players that are playing in the infield? You know, Sadon Rafael, he's so good in center field. He's very rangy at shortstop, and he's had to somehow figure out this balance of playing in center and playing in short, which has just been remarkable. But his outs above average at shortstop, they're not as impressive in terms of what he's done in center field. That's where he shines the most. But you need him at short. He's been awesome. The infield defense in general is where I get most concerned defensively about this team. And, you know, it's a question moving forward here for this team. How do they improve this group and make it better? And it's one of the key questions. And again, it's one of the key deficiencies to this group right now. They have a ton of speed. That's a strength. Offensively, top 10 in average on base and slugging percentage. Just outside the top 10 in home runs. Pitching-wise, top 10 in ERA. Bullpen's been great. The starting pitching, it's taken a step back recently, although Bayo and Pivetta looked really good in this series against the Marlins. But that's a group you'd like to bolster in some way. So again, some stuff to figure out. We're going to take you up to 6:30 here on Red Sox Review. We have to squeeze in a quick break, but more of your phone calls coming up next. And if you want to join the conversation, 617-779-7937. So Randy in Medfield, Mike from Connecticut, hang tight. We're getting to you next here on Red Sox Review on WEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Coming with the heat. Coming out of break. And of course, he's playing this. Taylor Swift, Welcome to New York. Because the Yankees are coming up next. Big three-game series in the Bronx. But we still talk about today. A 6-5 win in 12 innings against the Miami Marlins. Sox have won four in a row, so they go into that series red hot against the New York Yankees. Zach, is that your favorite Taylor Swift song?
It's definitely up there. I'm a big fan of the Red album. That's probably the last one that I listened to in its entirety, so I'm pretty partial to that one.
Did you see Taylor Swift live?
Yeah, way back in the day, me and my sister went with my mom. I think it was actually the Red tour at Gillette. Then we're going to London in August and hopefully going to see her there.
So are you a Swiftie is the big question.
I wouldn't call myself a Swiftie because I'm kind of a hater right now because I don't really like a lot of the new music. But I'm a Swiftie adjacent because I associate with a lot of Swifties being my girlfriend and two sisters.
Yeah, so. Now, fiance is a big Swiftie. She'll be pumped that you played that coming out of break here. Let's go back to the Red Sox and back to the phones here. Again, they win 6-5 in 12 innings. We want to hear from you, by the way. We're going to take you just straight up to our out cue here. So through the next 20 minutes, it's all you. 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937 as well. And we're also going to hear from Nick Pivetta and what he had to say in his postgame comments after he went 7 shutout innings today. He had a no-hit bid going into the 7th, so we'll hear from him as well. But before we do that, we have to go back to the phones. We want to go first to Mike in Connecticut. He wants to talk about the win and argues that this may be the best win of the year. Hello, Mike.
What's up, Joe? I'll tell you, the win against Philadelphia turned the season around when they were reeling and they came back from a 4-0 deficit. That was a season changer, but I got to say this is the best win of the year, Joe, because you don't expect Duran to, you know, throw that guy out on that play, especially when the guy's running with two outs. But, you know, it's a great win, and the thing that the team needs, Joe, is they definitely need another arm in the bullpen. Hopefully Hendricks. They need a left-hander in the bullpen, and they definitely need another right-handed bat.
Yeah, and Mike, appreciate the call there. And this is a win that I think you can put in the conversation for best win of the year. Now, from theatrics and just all the twists and turns we took today, and if you're just joining us now, you missed a wild game because Sox had a 2-0 lead. Nick Pivetta had a no-hit bid going into the 7th inning, but then the Marlins tied it up in the eighth inning with two runs. Then we went into extra innings after Jarren Duran made one of the plays of the year, a throw to home plate to end up getting what would have been the game-winning run. Jesus Sanchez coming around third on a single by Edwards, and Jarren Duran just comes up with a strike to home plate. Credit Reese McGuire for putting on the tag and keeping it a 2-2 game. And then we went into extras. Sox went ahead 4-2. And then Jesus Sanchez hit a game-tying home run in the bottom of the 11th inning to tie it back up at 4 before the Sox ended up scoring 2 in the 12th inning to take the lead once again for good and end up winning it 6-5. It took so many twists and turns, and you complete a sweep, the 5th road sweep of the year for the Red Sox, which is remarkable that we are into the beginning of July, only at this part in the year, and the Red Sox have swept 5 series on the road. But I think that win that Mike brought up against the Phillies, to me, that's one of the most important wins of the year. And I also think you can make the argument that the win against the White Sox on June 9th is also one of the biggest wins of the year. And you might be listening to me now And again, we want to hear from you, 617-779-7937, as we continue to talk about the win today. I know you might be hearing me now and say, wait, the White Sox? You're talking about the White Sox? Aren't they like the Marlins, one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball? But hear me out for a moment, because if you don't remember that series in June, the Sox almost lost that series against the White Sox. And they were down in the ninth inning, and they end up tying it in the top of the ninth inning, in large part thanks to who else but David Hamilton, who has just been able to create runs out of thin air. It's been a theme this year, and I think this is why Alex Cora loves this team so much, because they can manufacture runs. And Hamilton, if you go back to that ninth inning, he ends up doubling to lead off the inning. He steals third and then comes in to score on a sacrifice fly to tie that game up at 4, and then they win 6-4. You think about, if they lose that game, they fall two games below 500, and then after losing a series to the White Sox, they go into that homestand against the Phillies and Yankees. Well, they win that game. And again, as Mike noted, you know, in that Phillies series, they were down 4-0 in the middle innings of the middle match of that three-game set. And they come back and win that one, and then they take the series, and then they take the series against the Yankees. And from this point, they have just jumped off, and they've been playing phenomenal baseball, winners of 14 of their last 19. And again, they win 6-5 in 12 innings. But I think this is a contender because of all the twists and turns that it took to win this one. And in the end, they complete a sweep, and it becomes a memorable July 4th game. We can now look back at this day, which is always an important day, of course, in our country's history. We hope you've had a great 4th of July. And now this becomes part of the history of the Red Sox on July 4th, and what a win in Miami it was today. Again, the calls are rolling in right now, which is awesome. And we're going to get to everybody, because this is a commercial-free segment. We're just going to take you up to when we have to duck out right before 6:30. So let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Randy in Medfield. He wants to talk about Connor Wong. Hello, Randy.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great, Randy. How you doing? Happy 4th.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. Connor Wong, I think he has a lot of talent. He's got a great arm. He's a great defensive catcher. He's fast. But I don't think that he thinks at the plate. And the example I'm using is a few weeks ago, it was the bottom of the ninth, and the game was tied. The Red Sox were at bat. The bases were loaded. The pitcher had thrown six straight balls. The count on Wong was 2-0, and he swung and popped up to make the third out, and they lost. They lost the next innings. And that just made me think that this guy doesn't think up there at all. He doesn't. When he's batting, he's just swinging away. So that's my opinion on that.
So, Randy, you don't give any credit to the fact that he came into today with a 17-game hitting streak?
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, I just think he's got a ton of talent. But I just don't think he thinks. That's all.
I just don't think.
Why would you swing? Would you swing with six straight balls and a 2-0 count and the bases loaded, bottom of the ninth? Why would you swing?
So you're yeah. But you're hearkening back to a couple weeks ago instead of appreciating the present, which is him coming into today and the hitting streak's over because he didn't get a hit and he came into this game as a pinch hitter in the 10th inning. But you're not appreciating that he had a 17-game hitting streak, which is tied for the third longest streak in Red Sox catching history. With Carlton Fisk.
Yeah. No, I'm aware of that. I mean, that's great. Like I said, I'm repeating myself, but I think he's got a ton of talent. But I think it's more about hitting. I thought more about the way to hit. I think he'd be even better than he is.
All right. Well, Randy, I appreciate the call. And again, if you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. I just have to disagree there, because you don't luck into a 17-game hitting streak, and especially with the overall numbers that Connor Wong has coming into, you know, today's action, where he's got a slash line, and this is as a catcher too. So you have to remember that. And he hasn't, you know, every time he hits, he's not as a catcher. Sometimes he's a designated hitter, but more times than not, I mean, 51 times coming into today's game, he's a catcher, and he came in with the splits of .326 average, .382 on base percentage, and a .463 slugging percentage. And we've talked on this program about him being a possible all-star. So if you're going to nitpick, you know, anybody in this team, I don't think it's Connor Wong right now. Could he be a little bit more selective? Sure. And I think if you're really going to criticize the player Connor Wong, where you want to start is defensively, because he hasn't had a great defensive season, which is, you know, he's kind of always had the same issues defensively as a player. And, you know, it's kind of come to fruition again this year from a defensive side of things. Like, he's not a good framer. You know, blocks above average, especially. Like, he's one of the worst in baseball in terms of that. Now, pop time, it's above the 50 percentile mark. It's at 66th percentile, according to Baseball Savant. And then, you know, caught stealing above average, he's right around 50%. But he's got deficiencies, and I guess where I disagree with that last caller is if you're going to point it out, why not point out what he's done defensively rather than the offensive side of things? Because offensively, he's given you so much. Defensively, he can give you more, and hopefully that part of his game develops more. Again, 617-779-7937. We go back to the phones. Let's go to Dan in Nashua. Hello, Dan.
Yeah,
happy 4th.
I like you. But the thing is, Paul, we're your family, dude. We're the only ones who will help you.
Hey, Dan, are you there?
Help us.
Yeah, what's up?
How you doing, Dan? If you could just turn down the radio there in the back.
Okay. Yeah, okay. How you doing,
Dan?
A lot of people celebrating the 4th.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Dan. How's your 4th been?
Oh, my 4th has been great. Listen, the reason why I called was I listened to the game. It was phenomenal, okay? It was fantastic. You know, I believe, you know, over the last 2 years, you know, we've had a bum rap. But you know what I'm seeing today is chemistry is coming back to the team. And, you know, I hear people knocking this guy down, knocking that guy down. But you know what? You know, all in all, the team's doing great. The question I wanted to ask you is your opinion on it. Why would Cora put Kelly in to face Sanchez again after what he did yesterday to him?
Yeah.
That's it.
No, you know? And Dan, appreciate the call. And if you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. So he's questioning Zach Kelly pitching to Sanchez here because Zach Kelly gave up a 2-run home run to Sanchez in the 11th inning. And Zach Kelly, he ended up pitching earlier in this series. This was in the opener. Sox won it by a score of 6-3. And he took Zach Kelly deep in, what was that, Tuesday's game round. Yep, Tuesday's game, the opener of the series. He took him deep before. I think that Alex Cora thought that he could get him out. Maybe he thought it was a one-time thing that he took him deep and thought he could push him to 2 innings. And we had Glenn from New Orleans chime in, and he was frustrated with the fact that Nick Pivetta didn't go into the 8th inning and was questioning the bullpen moves of bringing Justin Slaton in, who, as I mentioned before on this program, he hadn't pitched at all this month, which has only been a couple games, but he hadn't pitched at all in this Marlins series. So I was explaining to Glenn, you had a locked and loaded bullpen with Slaton ready to go, with Jansen ready to go, and it seems like Chris Martin wasn't available for this game because we didn't get a chance to see him. I think if you're going to question any bullpen move that Alex Cora made today, it would be having Zach Kelly go out for that second inning. But he got out of the 10th inning with a couple strikeouts, and you figure, okay, he's got a 2-run lead at that point, bottom of the 11th inning. It was 4-2 Red Sox at that point, that he could take care of Sanchez. And Sanchez gets him again. So I think if you're going to question anything, that would be the fairest thing to question, because they did end up using Greg Weissert anyway, but maybe he felt like, I feel more comfortable with Kelly than Weissert, and it just didn't work out. And thankfully for the Red Sox, they win it anyway, 6-5 in 12 innings. So maybe he just liked the matchup this time around, and again, it didn't work out. But I do think, you know, and I think Glenn was making fun of me a little bit because I do defend Alex Cora a lot, and that's because I just think he's one of, if not the best manager in the sport. But I think if you're going to question anything, maybe that's the thing you question. Extending Kelly for that second inning and having to deal with Sanchez again, who took him deep in this series. But Sox win anyway, so we get to celebrate that. Again, 617-779-7937. We got you for about 7 minutes. We will, if we have some time here, we will play some post-game sound from Nick Pivetta after his great outing today. But let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Dan in Northampton. He wants to talk some Seidon Rafaela. Hello, Dan. Happy 4th to you.
Hey, happy fourth, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
Yeah, so I feel like a lot of the talk around this team this year is, you know, exceeding expectations and a lot of guys kind of stepping up into bigger roles than we ever thought they would. I feel like one of those guys who's not getting enough credit is Zaidan Rafaela. You know, if Durant didn't play every single game this year, we'd be talking about the fact that Rafaela played all but two games this entire season, played every defensive position that we've asked from him, stepped up well, you know, struggled at the back early in the season, but battled through, shown some pop, come up big at big spots with all these RBIs. I really feel like he's a key part of replacing Trevor Story and where the team's at today.
Yeah, Dan, and I appreciate the call, and I'm glad you brought him up because he has been such a huge part of this team. And, you know, RBIs, they've become in some way an obsolete stat, and I think that there's still a conversation to be had about the importance of RBIs. You know, it's a different feeling that we have toward that stat nowadays than we do, you know, that we did 20 years ago. However, I think it's really impressive that Rafaela leads the major leagues in RBIs among rookies. He's produced. And what's been neat about Zaidan Rafaela is that his numbers by month have gotten better and better. Because, yeah, and I know you remember this, anybody out there listening, that the first month of the season he hit 186 with a 561 OPS. May, 239 average, 698 OPS. Last month, he jumps his average over to 300, it's 315, and a 737 OPS. And none of those OPS numbers are, you know, all that staggering. However, they've gotten better month by month. And, you know, even more specific than that, last 22 games coming into today, he'd been hitting 357 with an 891 OPS. Now, he had a really hot stretch. He then cooled off a bit. Now he's got hits in three straight. I just love what he's brought to this team because he's an exciting player for one. So aesthetically, he's so much fun to watch, defensively, especially. But as Dan mentioned, he has been tasked with so much this year on the defensive side of things. The fact that he can play center as well as he does, he's as good a center fielder as we've seen since Jackie Bradley Jr. And then the fact that he can competently play shortstop as well is such a huge lift to a team that, of course, lost Trevor Story on the first road trip. And the fact that this kid is only a rookie makes you feel so good about what is ahead. And I completely agree with Dan that he deserves more love, and I'm glad that Dan brought him up because he's been one of the unsung heroes of this team, and the Sox should be so glad to have him because, again, this is only the beginning of his career. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Kevin and Bill Ricca. He wants to talk about Alex Cora. Hello, Kevin.
All right. Great, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. You just mentioned about how great the chemistry is on this team, and I'm going to say, who's the leader of that chemistry? It's Alex Cora. And if they don't make any moves at the deadline, when it comes to be this offseason, if they don't re-sign this guy, that chemistry is all going to be destroyed. I think Alex Cora is having fun with this team, and I hope he's having so much fun. If the Red Sox offer him a contract, which who the hell knows, he will accept it. So that's what I got.
Kevin, appreciate it. I couldn't agree with you more. Now, I think if he leaves, it's not like all the chemistry would go away. But Alex Cora is a guy that this franchise should be trying to do everything in its power to keep. Pay him, pay him, pay him. He deserves the money. He is one of the best managers in this sport. And you're seeing it once again this year with this group. It is a fact that he is a top five manager in baseball, and you can very well make the argument that he has been the best manager in the sport this year. To me, he's your AL manager of the year. And obviously I'm biased because I watch these games, but I also think the proof's in the pudding. And I'm glad Kevin brought that up.
To that point, I mean, it looks like the writing is on the wall that this is going to be Cora's last year here based on the way that him and Breslow have been talking about it, at least publicly. Is there anybody in the league that they could like reasonably get to replace Cora where it's not a pretty substantial downgrade? Because I'm not sure that there is.
I don't think so. I mean, like, to me, the class of manager that he is, like, I Bruce Bochy deserves some love because he's won 4 World Series, right? He won 3 with the Giants. I think I always thought those were so impressive, those Giants World Series, because they weren't necessarily a dominant team, right? I think the first year they won, they won the AL the NL West on the last day of the season. And then they had that young pitching staff, but Bochy's always been great at the tactical part of the game. And then he does it again in 2012. He does it again in 2014, and he plays it all so well. So, and of course, he wins it all with the Rangers last year. So to me, he's in that conversation too. But I think it's those two guys. I know Craig Counsell just got blown away with all this money, and maybe I'm being unfair to him because the Cubs have just had such a, you know, kind of miserable year that one of their best pitchers was yelling at everybody in the dugout recently. I don't know if you guys saw the Justin Steele video from a couple days ago. But to me, it's those two guys. I think those two are the best. You know, maybe Brian Snitker. But I also don't think that Snitker could do, from a tactical standpoint, what Alex Cora has been able to do. Just the mixing and matching, playing the percentages, you know, the splits, you know, understanding the splits, understanding who you have, and getting this group to where they are. He is one of the best. So again, that's why I say if you make the argument very conservatively, he's in the top 5. But to me, he's been the best manager in this sport this year. And he's a big reason why where they are. And as we'll keep saying it, if they keep playing like this, this team needs some additions. It deserves some additions. And they win again today, 6-5-12 here on July 4th. We hope you've enjoyed your July 4th. You've gotten some hot dogs and burgers in your system. You're about to go see some fireworks. And we hope you enjoyed today's Red Sox coverage. I want to thank Zach Coe. Great work behind the glass as always, my friend. And I want to thank Joe Castiglione and Lou Merlone for a great call today. Joe Braverman, I know he's recording Play Tessie. He's still here at WEI. Great work by Joe as well. I'm Joe Weil. Let's give you the final one final time. Red Sox 6, Marlins 5 in 12 innings. Thanks for listening to Red Sox Review. Empire State of Mind for the Red Sox. Yankees coming up next on the slate. Series begins tomorrow.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Co coming with the heat. Coming out of break. And of course, he's playing this. Taylor Swift, Welcome to New York. Because the Yankees are coming up next. Big three-game series in the Bronx. But we still talk about today. A 6-5 win in 12 innings against the Miami Marlins. Sox have won four in a row, so they go into that series red hot against the New York Yankees. Zach, is that your favorite Taylor Swift song?
It's definitely up there. I'm a big fan of the Red album. That's probably the last one that I listened to in its entirety, so I'm pretty partial to that one.
Did you see Taylor Swift live?
Yeah, way back in the day, me and my sister went with my mom. I think it was actually the Red Tour at Gillette. Then we're going to London in August and hopefully going to see her there.
So, are you a Swiftie is the big question.
I wouldn't call myself a Swiftie because I'm kind of a hater right now because I don't really like a lot of the new music. But I'm a Swiftie adjacent because I associate with a lot of Swifties, being my girlfriend and two sisters.
Yeah, so. My fiance is a big Swiftie. She'll be pumped that you played that coming out of break here. Let's go back to the Red Sox and back to the phones here. Again, they win 6-5 in 12 innings. We want to hear from you, by the way. We're going to take you just straight up to our out cue here. So through the next 20 minutes, it's all you. 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937 as well. And we're also going to hear from Nick Pivetta and what he had to say in his postgame comments after he went 7 shutout innings today. He had a no-hit bid going into the 7th, so we'll hear from him as well. But before we do that, we have to go back to the phones. We want to go first to Mike in Connecticut. He wants to talk about the win and argues that this may be the best win of the year. Hello, Mike.
What's up, Joe? I'll tell you, the win against Philadelphia turned the season around when they were reeling and they came back from a 4-0 deficit. That was a season changer. But I got to say, this is the best win of the year, Joe, because you don't expect Duran to, you know, throw that guy out on that play, especially when the guy's running with two outs. But, you know, it's a great win. And the thing that the team needs, Joe, is they definitely need another arm in the bullpen, hopefully Hendricks. They need a left-hander in the bullpen, and they definitely need another right-handed bat.
Yeah, and Mike, appreciate the call there. And this is a win that I think you can put in the conversation for best win of the year. Now, from theatrics and just all the twists and turns we took today, and if you're just joining us now, you missed a wild game because Sox had a 2-0 lead. Nick Pivetta had a no-hit bid going into the 7th inning, but then the Marlins tied it up in the eighth inning with two runs. Then we went into extra innings after Jaron Duran made one of the plays of the year, a throw to home plate to end up getting what would have been the game-winning run. Jesus Sanchez coming around third on a single by Edwards, and Jaron Duran just comes up with a strike to home plate. Credit Reese McGuire for putting on the tag and keeping it a 2-2 game. And then we went into extra. Sox went ahead 4-2. And then Jesus Sanchez hit a game-tying home run in the bottom of the 11th inning to tie it back up at 4 before the Sox ended up scoring 2 in the 12th inning to take the lead once again for good and end up winning it 6-5. It took so many twists and turns, and you complete a sweep, the 5th road sweep of the year for the Red Sox, which is remarkable that we are into the beginning of July, only at this part in the year, and the Red Sox have swept 5 series on the road. But I think that win that Mike brought up against the Phillies, to me, that's one of the most important wins of the year. And I also think you can make the argument that the win against the White Sox on June 9th is also one of the biggest wins of the year. And you might be listening to me now, and again, we want to hear from you, 617-779-7937, as we continue to talk about the win today. I know you might be hearing me now and say, wait, the White Sox? You're talking about the White Sox? Aren't they, like the Marlins, one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball? But hear me out for a moment, because if you don't remember that series in June, the Sox almost lost that series against the White Sox. And they were down in the 9th inning, and they end up tying it in the top of the 9th inning, in large part thanks to who else but David Hamilton, who has just been able to create runs out of thin air. It's been a theme this year, and I think this is why Alex Cora loves this team so much, because they can manufacture runs. And Hamilton, if you go back to that 9th inning, He ends up doubling to lead off the inning. He steals third and then comes in to score on a sacrifice fly to tie that game up at 4, and then they win 6-4. You think about if they lose that game, they fall 2 games below .500, and then after losing a series to the White Sox, they go into that homestand against the Phillies and Yankees. Well, they win that game. And again, as Mike noted, you know, in that Phillies series, they were down 4-0 in the middle innings of the middle match of that 3-game set. And they come back and win that one. And then they take the series. And then they take the series against the Yankees. And from this point, they have just jumped off. And they've been playing phenomenal baseball. Winners of 14 of their last 19. And again, they win 6-5 in 12 innings. But I think this is a contender because of all the twists and turns that it took to win this one. And in the end, they complete a sweep. And it becomes a memorable July 4th game. We can now look back at this day, which is always an important day, of course, in our country's history. We hope you had a great 4th of July. And now this becomes part of the history of the Red Sox on July 4th and what a win in Miami it was today. Again, the calls are rolling in right now, which is awesome. And we're going to get to everybody because this is a commercial-free segment. We're just going to take you up to when we have to duck out right before 6:30. So let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Randy in Medfield. He wants to talk about Connor Wong. Hello, Randy.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great, Randy. How you doing? Happy 4th.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. Connor Wong, I think he has a lot of talent. He's got a great arm. He's a great defensive catcher. He's fast. But I don't think that he thinks at the plate. And the example I'm using is a few weeks ago, it was the bottom of the ninth and the game was tied. The Red Sox were at bat. The bases were loaded. The pitcher had thrown 6 straight balls. The count on Wong was 2-0, and he swung and popped up to make the third out, and they lost. They lost the next innings. And that just made me think that this guy doesn't think up there at all. He doesn't. When he's batting, he's just swinging away. So that's my opinion on that.
So, Randy, you don't give any credit to the fact that he came into today with a 17-game hitting streak?
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, I just think he's got a ton of talent. But I just don't think he thinks. That's all.
I just don't think.
Why would you swing? Why would you swing with a 6 straight balls and a 2-0 count and the bases loaded, bottom of the ninth? Why would you swing?
So you're yeah. But you're hearkening back to a couple weeks ago instead of appreciating the present, which is him coming into today and the hitting streak's over because he didn't get a hit and he came into this game as a pinch hitter in the 10th inning. But you're not appreciating that he had a 17-game hitting streak, which is tied for the third longest streak in Red Sox catching history. With Carlton Fisk.
Yeah. You know, I'm aware of that. I mean, that's great. Like I said, I'm repeating myself, but I think he's got a ton of talent. But I think it's more about hitting. I thought more about the way to hit. I think he'd be even better than he is.
All right. Well, Randy, I appreciate the call. And again, if you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937, I just have to disagree there because you don't luck into a 17-game hitting streak, and especially with the overall numbers that Connor Wong has coming into, you know, today's action, where he's got a slash line, and this is as a catcher too. So you have to remember that, and he hasn't, you know, every time he hits, he's not as a catcher. Sometimes he's a designated hitter, but more times than not, I mean, 51 times coming into today's game, he's a catcher, and he came in with the splits of .326 average. .382 on base percentage and a .463 slugging percentage. And we've talked on this program about him being a possible all-star. So if you're going to nitpick, you know, anybody in this team, I don't think it's Connor Wong right now. Could he be a little bit more selective? Sure. And I think if you're really going to criticize the player Connor Wong, where you want to start is defensively, because he hasn't had a great defensive season, which is, you know, he's kind of always had the same issues defensively as a player. And, you know, it's kind of come to fruition again this year from a defensive side of things. Like, he's not a good framer, you know, blocks above average, especially he's one of the worst in baseball in terms of that. Now, pop time, it's above the 50 percentile mark. It's at 66 percentile, according to Baseball Savant. And then, you know, caught stealing above average, he's right around 50%. But he's got deficiencies, and I guess where I disagree with that last caller is if you're going to point it out, why not point out what he's done defensively rather than the offensive side of things? Because offensively, he's given you so much. Defensively, he can give you more, and hopefully that part of his game develops more. Again, 617-779-7937. We go back to the phones. Let's go to Dan in Nashua. Hello, Dan.
Yeah,
happy 4th.
I like you. But the thing is, Paul, we're your family, dude. We're the only ones who will help you.
Hey, Dan, are you there?
Help us. Yeah, what's up?
How you doing, Dan? If you could just turn down the radio there in the back.
Okay. Yeah, okay. How you doing,
Dan?
A lot of people celebrating the 4th.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Dan. How's your 4th been?
Oh, my 4th has been great. Listen, the reason why I called was I listened to the game. It was been phenomenal, okay? It was fantastic. You know, I believe, you know, over the last 2 years, you know, we've had a bum rap. But you know what I'm seeing today is chemistry is coming back to the team. And, you know, I hear people knocking this guy down, knocking that guy down. But you know what? You know, all in all, the team's doing great. The question I wanted to ask you is your opinion on it. Why would Cora put Kelly in to face Sanchez again after what he did yesterday to him?
Yeah.
That's it.
No, you know? And Dan, appreciate the call. And if you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. So he's questioning Zach Kelly pitching to Sanchez here because Zach Kelly gave up a 2-run home run to Sanchez in the 11th inning. And Zach Kelly, he ended up pitching earlier in this series. This was in the opener. Sox won it by a score of 6-3. And he took Zach Kelly deep in, what was that, Tuesday's game round. Yep, Tuesday's game, the opener of the series. He took him deep before. I think that Alex Cora thought that he could get him out. Maybe he thought it was a one-time thing that he took him deep and thought he could push him to 2 innings. And we had Glenn from New Orleans chime in, and he was frustrated with the fact that Nick Pivetta didn't go into the 8th inning and was questioning the bullpen moves of bringing Justin Slayton in, who, as I mentioned before on this program, he hadn't pitched at all this month, which has only been a couple games, but he hadn't pitched at all in this Marlins series. So I was explaining to Glenn, you had a locked and loaded bullpen with Slayton ready to go, with Jansen ready to go, and it seems like Chris Martin wasn't available for this game because we didn't get a chance to see him. I think if you're going to question any bullpen move that Alex Cora made today, it would be having Zach Kelly go out for that 2nd inning. But he got out of the 10th inning with a couple strikeouts, and you figure, okay, he's got a 2-run lead at that point. Bottom of the 11th inning, it was 4-2 Red Sox at that point, that he could take care of Sanchez. And Sanchez gets him again. So I think if you're going to question anything, that would be the fairest thing to question, because they did end up using Greg Weissert anyway, but maybe he felt like, I feel more comfortable with Kelly than Weissert, and it just didn't work out. And thankfully for the Red Sox, they win it anyway, 6-5 in 12 innings. So maybe he just liked the matchup this time around. And again, it didn't work out. But I do think, you know, and I think Glenn was making fun of me a little bit because I do defend Alex Cora a lot. And that's because I just think he's one of, if not the best manager in the sport. But I think if you're going to question anything, maybe that's the thing you question. Extending Kelly for that 2nd inning and having to deal with Sanchez again, who took him deep in this series. But Sox win anyway, so we get to celebrate that. Again, 617-779-7937. We got you for about 7 minutes. We will, if we have some time here, we will play some post-game sound from Nick Pivetta after his great outing today. But let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Dan in Northampton. He wants to talk some Sadon Rafaela. Hello, Dan. Happy 4th to you.
Hey, happy 4th, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
So I feel like a lot of the talk around this team this year is, you know, exceeding expectations and a lot of guys kind of stepping up into bigger roles than we ever thought they would. I feel like one of those guys who's not getting enough credit is Sadon Rafaela. You know, if Durant didn't play every single game this year, we'd be talking about the fact that Rafaela's played all but 2 games this entire season, played every defensive position that we've asked from him, stepped up well, you know, struggled at the bat early in the season, but battled through, shown some pop, come up big at big spots with all these RBIs. I really feel like he's a key part of replacing Trevor Story and where the team's at today.
Yeah, Dan, and I appreciate the call, and I'm glad you brought him up because he has been such a huge part of this team. And, you know, RBIs, they've become in some way an obsolete stat. And I think that there's still a conversation to be had about the importance of RBIs. You know, it's a different feeling that we have toward that stat nowadays than we do, you know, that we did 20 years ago. However, I think it's really impressive that Rafaela leads the major leagues in RBIs among rookies. He's produced. And what's been neat about Seydon Rafaela is that his numbers by month have gotten better and better. Because, yeah, and I know you remember this, anybody out there listening, that the first month of the season, he hit 186 with a 561 OPS. May, 239 average, 698 OPS. Last month, he jumps his average over to 300, it's 315, and a 737 OPS. And none of those OPS numbers are, you know, all that staggering. However, they've gotten better month by month. And, you know, even more specific than that, last 22 games coming into today, he'd been hitting 357 with an 891 OPS. Now, he had a really hot stretch. He then cooled off a bit. Now he's got hits in three straight. I just love what he's brought to this team because he's an exciting player for one, so aesthetically he's so much fun to watch, defensively especially. But as Dan mentioned, he has been tasked with so much this year on the defensive side of things. The fact that he can play center as well as he does, he's as good a center fielder as we've seen since Jackie Bradley Jr. And then the fact that he can competently play shortstop as well is such a huge lift to a team that, of course, lost Trevor Story on the first road trip. And the fact that this kid is only a rookie makes you feel so good about what is ahead. And I completely agree with Dan that he deserves more love, and I'm glad that Dan brought him up because he's been one of the unsung heroes of this team, and the Sox should be so glad to have him because, again, this is only the beginning of his career. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Kevin and Bill Ricca. He wants to talk about Alex Cora. Hello, Kevin.
All right, great, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. You just mentioned about how great the chemistry is on this team, and I'm going to say, who's the leader of that chemistry? It's Alex Cora. And if they don't make any moves at the deadline, when it comes to be this offseason, if they don't re-sign this guy, that chemistry is all going to be destroyed. I think Alex Cora is having fun with this team, and I hope he's having so much fun. If the Red Sox offer him a contract, which who the hell knows, he will accept it. So that's what I got.
Kevin, appreciate it. I couldn't agree with you more. Now, I think if he leaves, it's not like all the chemistry would go away. But Alex Cora is the guy that this franchise should be trying to do everything in its power to keep. Pay him, pay him, pay him. He deserves the money. He is one of the best managers in this sport. And you're seeing it once again this year with this group. It is a fact that he is a top five manager in baseball, and you can very well make the argument that he has been the best manager in the sport this year. To me, he's your AL manager of the year. And obviously I'm biased because I watch these games, but I also think the proof's in the pudding. And I'm glad Kevin brought that up.
To that point, I mean, it looks like the writing is on the wall that this is going to be Cora's last year here based on the way that him and Breslow have been talking about it, at least publicly. Is there anybody in the league that they could like reasonably get to replace Cora where it's not a pretty substantial downgrade? Because I'm not sure that there is.
I don't think so. I mean, like, to me, the class of manager that he is, like, Bruce Bochy deserves some love because he's won four World Series, right? He won three with the Giants. I think I always thought those were so impressive, those Giants World Series, because they weren't necessarily a dominant team, right? I think the first year they won, they won the AL the NL West on the last day of the season, and then they had that young pitching staff. But Bochy's always been great at the tactical part of the game, and then he does it again in 2012. He does it again in 2014, and he plays it all so well. So, and of course, he wins it all with the Rangers last year. So to me, he's in that conversation too. But I think it's those two guys. I know Craig Counsell just got blown away with all this money, and maybe I'm being unfair to him because the Cubs have just had such a, you know, kind of miserable year that one of their best pitchers was yelling at everybody in the dugout recently. I don't know if you guys saw the Justin Steele video from a couple days ago, but to me, it's those two guys. I think those two are the best. You know, maybe Brian Snitker, but I also don't think that Snitker could do from a tactical standpoint what Alex Cora has been able to do. Just the mixing and matching, playing the percentages, you know, the splits, you know, understanding the splits, understanding who you have and getting this group to where they are. He is one of the best. So again, that's why I say if you make the argument very conservatively, he's in the top five. But to me, he's been the best manager in this sport this year. And he's a big reason why where they are. And as we'll keep saying it, if they keep playing like this, this team needs some additions. It deserves some additions. And they win again today, 6-5-12 here on July 4th. We hope you've enjoyed your July 4th. You've gotten some hot dogs and burgers in your system. You're about to go see some fireworks. And we hope you enjoyed today's Red Sox coverage. I want to thank Zach Coe. Great work behind the glasses. Always my friend. And I want to thank Joe Castiglione, Lou Merlone for a great call today. Joe Braverman, I know he's recording Play Tessie. He's still here at WEI. Great work by Joe as well. I'm Joe Weil. Let's give you the final one final time. Red Sox 6, Marlins 5 in 12 innings. Thanks for listening to Red Sox Review. Empire State of Mind for the Red Sox. Yankees coming up next on the slate. Series begins tomorrow.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.